Welcome to the Beyond the Diagnosis podcast with me, Dr. Kylie. I'm so glad you're here. If you find this empowers you to take back control of your health instead of relying on the system in any way, please share this with three of your friends. Invite them to come join us. Are you ready? Let's dive inside. Five ways toxins are destroying your health. Route number one, endocrine disruptors, things like hormones. Do they ever get out of whack? Well, toxins can play a key factor. They're not just the sole factor, but they can be a key factor. Let me give you an example here. I was working with a remarkable woman who was wanting to become a mom. She had tried multiple routes through fertility clinics. She's gone to different naturopathic doctors, tried just about everything that she could think of. And one person along her journey said that the reason why she couldn't get pregnant was because of toxins. Now, that is a factor. It is not the sole reason. Toxins can destroy, disrupt your hormones. They can get inside your adrenals, your thyroid, your liver, and your brain. Those are the four key organs that toxins love to hang out in because of the fat content. So that's route number one. Toxins can destroy your hormones. Number two, autoimmune. They are a key player in autoimmune diseases. Things like Hashimoto's, RA, rheumatoid arthritis, Parkinson's, MS. The list goes on with autoimmune diseases. Let me give you an example. Young mom, 42 years old, she gets diagnosed with Parkinson's. This too is one of my patients that I've been able to help and get her body straightened out to where it's into a healing environment. But as I was listening to her story, she grew up on a farm. Now, my family are farmers. They own a dairy farm, and with that, the agricultural side of things too. So she grew up on a farm, and on the farm, she remembers being out on the four-wheeler with her dad spraying pesticides onto the crops, because that was what you did 20 years ago, right? When pesticides were new. I guess this one certain pesticide was new, I guess. She had been doing a lot of research and had determined that the reason why she had Parkinson's at such an early age is because of this pesticide that she was constantly around as a child. So that is one factor that can play a role in autoimmune disease. Think about it this way. You have a cup. Your cup keeps getting filled up with water. Something happens in your life, the trauma fills up with the water. You get some vaccines, that goes and gets adds up with water. You drive down, if you're in the Salt Lake Valley, come inversion time, you're going to go outside, well, that's going to fill up your cup with some water. And eventually, your cup is going to overflow. But all of these factors have to play a role inside the filling of your cup. When they do overflow your cup, then we start to see the onset of what we call disease. What disease that is? Well, your genetic code tells you what that is. For example, in the case of autoimmune disease, we have things like the toxins, the leaky gut, the environmental factors. All of these things play a role. When that cup overflows, whatever genetic code your body has, that's going to tell your immune system what to attack. So in the case of her, Parkinson's is what her body attacked. Many people say, well, I have Hashimoto's that runs into my family. Well, that's because your genetic code is going to tell your body to attack your thyroid. It's just a matter of all of these things building up one upon another. Factor number three, toxins can lead to headaches, migraines, chronic pain. In fact, one of my favorite things that I've ever experienced in far as clinical side is I was helping a 14-year-old boy who had major gut problems. His family was very restricted in what they were able to do. They did not go on vacations. They didn't go very far, as he always needed to be near a bathroom. So traveling was very difficult. But he's 14. He now wants to start playing with his friends and going to scout camp in the summer, but he doesn't want to deal with this. And he's eating basically rice and chicken. That is about the only thing he can eat. And even then, he will have these flares of diarrhea that happens 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day that he really has no idea why they even happen. Along his journey, they found a heavy metal test online that they purchased They sent in a hair sample and it came back with a couple minor influences of heavy metals. Now that can be a useful test. I don't recommend it because heavy metals testing, especially via hair analysis, is not accurate. I don't even test for heavy metals from a clinical standpoint because they're so hard to get accuracy on. You have to have a factor that's going to drive the toxins into the bloodstream or into whatever specimen sample you're taking it with, whether it's urine, hair, or blood. There's got to be some factor that drives the toxins out of the tissue into that specimen. And so it's very, very difficult. There's one factor they call DMSA. DMSA is now illegal in the United States. You can get it from Canada, but it is a factor that drives your heavy metal toxins. So when it comes to taking a test for heavy metals, I don't recommend spending the money because what you're going to get is inaccurate levels. But they can lead to chronic pain, headaches, and migraines. And with him specifically, he had all these gut issues, right? But he's 14. His mom is doing the best that they can. They really don't know much any better. They've tried just about everything under the sun until they ran into me. And I present to them with the concept of SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And that was a completely new concept. What happens with that is your gut has two types of bacteria that are playing major factors. One type is called their methane gas producers, and the other type are hydrogen gas producers. And whichever type you have strongest in your body, that's going to lead to chronic constipation or chronic diarrhea, depending on which gas is being produced. But that gas and toxins that are involved with inside your gut were giving him painful joints to the point where he doesn't remember a time where he didn't have painful joints until I treated him on the first time. Now, this was back when I was still doing chiropractic. I did this thing called ICV. There's a valve between your small and your large intestine. I did a Chinese medicine acupuncture rubbing the point type thing, but I didn't use needles. I just used my finger, rubbed the points, and I stimulated that ICV so it would open and close correctly. He came back 2 weeks later and said that he hasn't had joint pain since. Now, what I've learned is that when we take care of the gut, we get it right, and you get your gut done right personally, it's not a one-size-fits-all to the gut, especially. And then we remove those toxins because toxins love to hang out in tissues, like I said before. When you can get those toxins driven out of your tissues and removed, now you're less inflamed, now your body's in this healing environment, and your joints, for him, aren't hurting. I'm happy to report that 3 months later, after we treated the SIBO, he came in and was like, "Kylie, now I feel constipated." So what do you mean? And after further questioning, he was having a bowel movement one time a day. But to him, that's constipation because he was so used to having it 6-7 times a day and always having to, and it being urgent. Now, think about his life has changed. Think about how his family's life has changed. He went to scout camp, but not only did he go to scout camp, he was a leader and stayed there the entire summer. We did get him some type of filter. I don't remember what it was, but a filter for the water source at camp because it did have toxins and it was flaring up his body. So we did get that taken care of. So not only can toxins be found inside your body, but they can be found inside your environment too, even in your home. If you haven't listened to the "Is Your Home Making You Sick" episode, you need to go check that out because it's pretty remarkable. Factor number four, skin. So first we have hormone problems, second autoimmune, third headaches, migraines, and chronic pain, fourth skin. Think about your skin as the largest organ in your body because it is. When your skin is showing symptoms like psoriasis, acne, eczema, the list goes on. I mean, there's an entire specialist, dermatology specialist. You can devote your entire career to specific skin conditions. But your skin is an organ. And it's a detox organ. And when your detox organs are struggling and not keeping pace with what's inside your body, what's having to be go in and be removed, it's going to start showing through your skin. One of the ways I like to think about this is think about teenagers and how common acne is with teenagers. What happens in your teenage years? Well, your hormones skyrocket. All of those hormones have to go through your liver to get broken down and eliminated. If your liver is so busy doing other things, the hormones get put on the back burner. And now you're seeing estrogen levels get higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. And if they keep getting to a point, it's going to lead to endometriosis, heavy, painful periods. Boys, acne, women, acne, because your liver is now not only controlling detox, but all the other all the things that need to be detoxed have to go outside your liver, through your skin, through your kidneys, through your small and large intestine. Most importantly, your skin, because it, once again, it's the largest organ. When it comes to skin conditions, toxins are a key player. And I'll just use the example of acne specifically, because it's so very common. When I treat teenagers, especially who are dealing with acne, I use one supplement. That one supplement is Bind. It does exactly what it says it does. It binds to toxins and eliminates them and gets them out of your body. If you want that, check it out on the website at drkellyburton.com/store. And you'll find Bind in the supplement section. But that is my one key factor. And it's so simple because it's one supplement. I mean, a teenager is not going to want to take 9 million things. I wouldn't even want to take 9 million things. I'm not a person to take supplements, especially when they're being used to survive. I am all about using supplements to get the work done, heal the body, what needs to be healed, remove the underlying causes, and then get on with your life. However, that being said, I do have a toolkit of supplements in my toolkit. I know that when I start getting dizzy or lightheaded, when I go from a sitting to a standing position, my blood sugar is dropping and I need to reach for Senulin to help my blood sugar out. I also know that if I am laying in bed and my mind is going a million miles an hour, my adrenals are getting overworked. So I'm going to go grab some adrenal adaptogen. I don't use these things on a daily basis. I take them when I need them. Otherwise, my body's good to go. Yours can be too. And finally, the last factor is fatigue. Toxins can lead to nutrient deficiencies because they're going to steal your nutrients. Let's take mercury, for example. Mercury is a heavy metal that steals this thing called glutathione. Glutathione is the most powerful antioxidant in your body, which means it's the most powerful cell protector in your body. But for every mercury, two glutathiones are stolen. Think about mercury tooth fillings. How many glutathiones are being stolen from your body? Not only is that responsible for protecting your cells with other antioxidants like vitamin A, C, and E, it is a key factor in your liver detoxification processes. In phase 1 and phase 2 of liver detox, glutathione is absolutely required. And if there's not enough there, not enough inside your body, it's going to struggle getting through the detox process. And mercury is directly stealing from your sources. So there you have it. The 5 ways toxins can destroy your health. Hormones, autoimmune, 3, headaches, migraines, chronic pain, 4, skin factors or conditions, and 5, fatigue. Now we're going to be joined by Dr. Kirsten Lauritsen, and she's going to walk us through 3 ways we can reduce our toxic load starting right now. Because remember, you live in an environment and there's no way you can get around it, but there are a few factors you can do that will reduce your toxic load, and that's all we can do. Just take control of what you can control and let your body do the rest. And when you need to detox, detox. We're going to jump into detoxing the liver versus liver cleanses. Neither her or I are a fan of liver cleanses. All that does is relieve the burden off of your liver for a couple of days, but it doesn't replenish or restore anything. You need those nutrients. You need those factors to help your body with detox. So if you're interested, take a look at prep, body, and brain phase. That's the way I do detox, and that's the way I highly recommend you do it because it's the right way. And the first phase is prep phase. It's going to prepare your body for the process of detox. Second is body phase. It is going to pull the toxins out from your thyroid, your adrenals, your liver, and your gut. And this is very sufficient, guys. This is remarkable, the results that you get. In fact, I was working with a vet. He had been in Iraq and Afghanistan a couple of different times. And he came back and he was having all these muscle cramps, like large muscles and just random muscles all throughout the day. It was debilitating his ability to do anything. His muscles would just literally seize and cramp up on him. He just tried all the electrolytes. Doctors couldn't explain anything. He was hydrated. And then he started telling me what his life was like in Afghanistan and Iraq. and they literally don't have a sewage system. There's no way to get rid of garbage over there besides burning it. And when it's burned, think of all those toxins and fumes that are being released into the air and everybody's breathing them. So what we did was I did prep body and brain phase 3 times with him over the course of 12 months because we had some factors we had to manipulate throughout the process just so his body could handle it. But over that course of 12 months, he became a brand new person and muscle cramping is no longer an issue. So this stuff is pretty cool when it's done right. So check that out. Then you can also order them on the website as well. So here we go. Let's dive into 3 factors you can take action right now to reduce your toxic load.
Affecting your health. And it's important to kind of just recognize when these types of things pop up and at least know that there may be a cause behind what the toxins could be contributing to the causes behind why you're experiencing any of the types of chronic symptoms that you may have.
Right. Cool. So once again, toxins can interrupt your hormones. They can lead to or help assist in the autoimmune category. It can help you or lead to headaches, migraines, chronic pain, you've got skin issues and fatigue. So knowing that, what are our 3 best avenues for eliminating toxins and reducing our toxic load?
Awesome. So I'm going to name them right now and then we'll dive into each section. So number one is to support your liver with nutrition. Mm-hmm. The second one is working on your gut health and then optimizing those elimination pathways. And then the third one is paying attention to what you are exposed to on a daily basis. And so we'll go into some of the details. And that's my favorite one because we get to dive into all the different ways that you can actually put this into play in your life. So let's dive into number one. So supporting your liver with nutrition, we just sort of referenced that, right? The last point. But in this stage, this is where we really want to talk about the 2 phases that go on in the liver. So picture a toxin going into a picture of your liver, right? And what I like to sort of describe it as, although this is not how it works, but the first half is phase 1 and the second half is phase 2. And so the first half of that is when the toxin goes in, the liver actually turns it into an even more toxic substance while it's trying to get rid of it. And it does that through a couple of different pathways. I think they call it like a super oxidated component or chemical, then that's when your body takes all those different vitamins and minerals and antioxidants and binds it to that a lot more toxic chemical to then be removed out of the system. So that can be things like alpha lipoic acid. That can be things like all your different types of B vitamins, CoQ10, vitamin C, glutathione, the list like goes on and on and on and on. There's a lot of different ones that are needed in order to make this process function properly. So just keep in mind that that toxin has to go through several different stages and you absolutely need those antioxidants on the other side in order to make this process work really well. This is also why sometimes when you hear eating organ meats can be a really great source of different types of vitamins and minerals. So particularly the liver is a great source of vitamin B12 because in animals, this is where the body tends to store a good portion of its vitamins and minerals because it's doing this process all day long, right? So the liver can be an awesome way to get some vitamins and minerals in. And it's a source that we are severely lacking, I think, in modern day societies because we don't usually eat organ meats anymore. So
if you got a good recipe for liver, you should probably share it because I don't know if I'm going to try that.
Yeah, my favorite
pill instead.
For sure. Yeah, and that's totally fine. My favorite sources are getting it in pâtés because you can really flavor it up and that can be really nice. But your general liver and onions is usually not very good. So if you can find it in a sausage form or again in
a pâté. You actually eat liver?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Of course you would.
It's really good. I mean, it's not good. Like if you don't cook it properly and you don't like put good care into it and you get a flavor of that liver, it'll make you jump out of your skin and you won't really won't want to eat anything else.
Do you share this in your cooking show?
I have not put up one yet. I am still working on it. Yeah. Okay. So
by the way, anyway, she has a cooking show, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. It's kind of been overwhelmed right now with just different interviews with different practitioners, but I am bringing another season of the cooking show back here. I'm kind of doing anyway. Well, let's keep moving on. So with the liver and nutrition, also, I mentioned organ meats, but don't worry, you don't just have to get it there. So dark colored fruits and your leafy green veggies are awesome. So those dark colored fruits, talking about blueberries, cherries, talking about pomegranates, like those super heavy acai berries, like those are very dense antioxidant fruits. So that's one great thing. I love to say, like, if you can put blueberries into your morning smoothies or just eat a handful of blueberries every day, it really supports your liver, but it also supports your brain. So like for my MS people, I love to tell them to eat blueberries and eat a good portion of them. So also lots of green leafy veggies. Those are also a really great source of a wide variety of vitamins and minerals. You can eat them raw. You can eat them cooked. So for people who can't really handle the raw in their diet and in their gut for the time being, I hope you're working on it. Those green leafy veggies can be really helpful for that. Also onions and garlic. Onions and garlic have a few different types of components in them that can really help to just support the liver through those different types of phases. The next one is like your broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. Those types of vegetables actually support that phase one process of taking like medications and toxins and getting them through that process. Broccoli and cauliflower can really help with that, but they can also help with, since you mentioned endometriosis and estrogen being really high, broccoli and cauliflower can actually help to lower those hormone imbalances. So make them a little bit more balanced. Broccoli is a great source for that. Let's see. And then the last one, well, there's plenty, but the ones that I have prepped here for today, green tea, black tea, rooibos tea, if you don't drink caffeine. There's teas, not a detox tea, but like actual teas are really great for removing toxins. They also support different enzymatic pathways that go through the liver when you're trying to eliminate toxins. So those can be great sources to just include into your normal daily routine.
Nice.
Yeah. The second piece, and actually I should say on that too, because we're about to segue into gut health and optimizing elimination pathways. One of the reasons why I mentioned in the beginning, like not, so any type of cleanse or detox program that doesn't have you eat whole food, it's really important that you recognize that that might not be the best source unless there's some crazy situation that like you can't eat food or whatever. The biggest piece when we're talking about eliminating toxins is that the gut has to have fiber and it actually has to have something dense for it to take, for the liver to take those, that toxin and whatever it is that it's trying to get rid of and dump it into the gut. But if you don't have something for it to dump into, then it's going to use other pathways, right? And the GI tract is a major eliminator for the body. So not only can you be supporting your detoxification system with a lot of antioxidants when you're eating the right types of foods to support that system, you can also promote the body getting rid of toxins as well if you're eating actual food. So pretty darn important when it comes to detox and kind of working through some of those myths that come from what we really should be doing with detoxification. So
one of those myths would be avoid the liver cleanses.
Yeah.
And do the right detox. I agree with you.
Support it with nutrition.
Yeah. I always say when you're giving a liver cleanse, like some type of juice, you're only drinking juice for 3 days or whatever the case may be, celery juice, because that used to be a big one, you know, that's going to help your body eliminate what's there on sort of, you have to have the materials that you need, the product that you need to get through detox. So you just cutting out foods isn't going to help. If you support those detox systems using the right detox treatment, like giving your body glutathione and nutrients like that, that's when you really see the benefit from your liver standpoint. So don't go Googling super liver cleanses.
Yeah.
Focus on the detox and then get the prep body brain phases from my website, and that'll be a proper detox for you.
For sure. Yeah. So yep, that all of those things, just make sure you're actually supporting the systems in and of themselves. So right. Also though, juices can be really helpful when you consider getting a lot of the nutrients from the juice. So I'm not saying don't juice, but you will be getting a lot more sugar than you will of the fiber. And so sometimes I'll recommend that they just eat the real like whole food, or maybe put it into a smoothie form, so you get some of the fiber from that versus just the juicing forms. Again, in like exaggerated scenarios where you can't really eat food, juicing can be helpful, but that really shouldn't be a long-term solution.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. So getting into that gut health though. So your GI tract really does matter, and the health of it is a really big piece. I know for a lot of my hypothyroid patients, I usually see a lot of motility issues. So how the gut moves, and you usually see that in the form of constipation. But I see constipation in people who don't even have thyroid isn't even on the plate. And it's just something is happening where the motility of the gut, how your gut is moving its stuff through, is just slowed down. So we're looking at things like constipation, stuff like that. The problem with constipation is, first off, it can usually be due to some type of bacteria imbalance of some type. So looking at like dysbiosis or even an overabundance.
You mean it's not a magnesium deficiency?
Well, it could be. But magnesium does help to like move stuff through. It's just not the overriding solution. That's like the equivalent of like taking a medication to try to like make things happen versus actually treat the cause.
So yeah. If you're looking at constipation or diarrhea, take a look at SIBO, S-I-B-O, and tackle the real problem. And when it comes to your bowel movements, you want to have a bowel movement at least once a day, maybe twice. And ideally, your bowel movement should happen first thing when you wake up, because now your body's been processing all your food all night. It should be eliminated, ready for your GI tract to eat all the food for the rest of the day. So
yes.
For example, I was working with a 14-year-old boy who had diarrhea, and it was like 5 or 6 times a day, and he couldn't go anywhere. His family couldn't go anywhere because he always had to be that close to a bathroom. And after like the first month of treatment of killing the SIBO and fixing the ileocecal valve, the ICV, and doing a couple other components with his diet, but he came back and he's like, now I'm constipated. I'm like, well, what do you mean you're constipated? How many bowel movements per day are you having? And he's like, well, I'm having one a day. And I looked at him and I was like, that's normal. But to him, it was constipation because it's not like 5-6 times a day, right? So normal bowel movements should be happening once, maybe twice a day.
Right. Yeah. So making sure that your gut is actually working properly and as a proper elimination unit is a big piece of making sure that your gut is healthy. Also, because with constipation, if your gut is using that as one of its major elimination pathways, it can... So the body is designed, right, to absorb nutrients from the GI tract. So what can sometimes happen is those chemicals and toxins that your body is trying to get rid of end up reabsorbed right back into your body. So this is why like making sure you have a good flow of movement through there is important. It's a big piece of making sure that the body is able to eliminate toxins. And just for your overall health in general, like GI tract health is a big thing now, but there's a lot of reasons for it. Yeah. Okay.
Taking the probiotic for the same probiotic every day for months at a time isn't beneficial either.
Yeah, no, that's also, yes, right. We could do a whole other thing on gut health. Yes. So biggest ones that I wanted to touch on.
10 other things on gut health. That's how detailed your gut has to be.
It's super, yes, absolutely.
So first is liver, second is gut, and then are you good with gut?
Yeah, so we've got a couple more. So first off, support your liver with nutrition. Second is pay attention to your gut. And then we have three more that we want to make sure are doing what they're supposed to be doing. So sweat, lymph, which means to move your body. We're going to get into that in a second. And then hydrate. So hydration, let's start there first. So hydration is drink a lot of water, drink a lot of fluids, because your kidneys help to process out a decent amount of toxins, right? You go to the bathroom, you urinate. That's one way that your body is constantly getting rid of different types of metabolites and all sorts of different things that the body's trying to get rid of. So making sure that you are properly hydrated is a really big deal, but that also helps to promote sweat, right? So when you're properly hydrated, your body will also lose some of that through sweat. And that's a really good process to make sure is actually happening. You can do this by working out and getting real sweaty, like that works fine, but you can also do it through saunas. You can do a wet sauna or a dry sauna, like an infrared light sauna. It depends on what people have access to, but typically it's the infrared saunas that are a little bit more effective than the wet saunas at removing toxins from the body and getting that sweat to really move things out. But that's just one, a few examples of how you could make that happen. Also, lymph. Oh, I remembered one other thing we need to talk about with the gut before we move on, but I'm going to cover lymph for a second here. So another different way that your body moves toxins out of the system is the lymph nodes. So those are like when you get sick, you feel them kind of like in your neck sometimes, in your glands, they can swell up and you feel that. Well, you actually have lymph nodes all over your body. And they tend to you feel a lot of them like around your armpits or around kind of your groin, but they are constantly moving stuff through. So toxin and your lymph nodes are a really big way that you can move toxins, even like bacteria, viruses, all of that are designed to move through your lymph. But here's the thing, your lymph nodes move because you move your body. So if you are sitting still all day long, it's not going to promote a whole lot of lymph movement. So one of the biggest things that I ask when I'm either just working with patients on a general healthy basis, and then especially when we're talking about removing toxins, moving your body for at least 30 minutes. If I can get like a bookend of like 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes in the evening, if I can make that happen, that's awesome. And I'm talking about walking, maybe stretching and doing like a light yoga session. I'm not talking about these like super intense, like I gotta go and like get on I gotta go to CrossFit or I've gotta go to, you know, all these different
gym
places.
Membership.
No, yeah. Like we can make this super simple. Just go for a walk and maybe do some like light stretching, moving. Think about like moving your joints, like through all different directions, like just move your body. Heck, you can dance in your kitchen if you want. Like, I don't really care how you do it. Just move your body. And that's a big way to like get lymph to move so that you can eliminate some of these toxins too.
I think one of the easiest ways when we were in school, we had classes from 7:30 to 5:30 all day, every day, right? Yes. But we had 50-minute portions and then a 10-minute break. Mm-hmm. So it was a 50-minute sit on your butt, do nothing besides get lectured, and then a 10 minutes. And usually like, we'd all go outside. Some people were playing kickball. Some people were like, I would go on a walk around the block. Like that's how we were able to move. So if you have a desk job and you're thinking, how do I incorporate more exercise into my routine or more movement per se, because exercise gets a negative connotation, more movement in your day, set a timer on your cell phone. Like literally time yourself every 30 minutes, or if you're at work, maybe every 50 minutes, like it was for us at school, but just set that timer that's what will go off and you'll have a reminder. And then when it comes to hydration for the water, this is what I grabbed from my storage room real fast. But two things that I really struggle with is getting enough. One, the biggest thing is getting enough water in the day. So I literally have it sitting on my desk so I can see it in sight, in mind, out of sight, out of mind. So put it on your desk so you can see it. And then the other thing is I'm just lazy. I don't like filling up water. I'm just lazy about filling up a water bottle. Hence why I have this for my storage room. So what my water bottle is 64 ounces. It's giant. It's obnoxiously big. But if I filled up one time that day, I'm better at drinking 64 ounces than I would drinking a 32-ounce bottle, running out and not filling it up again.
Exactly. So
there's two ideas that I use on a daily basis. And sometimes you just need to grab the water from the storage room, okay?
Yeah, totally fine to have some of those things around. I would say, so first off, with just making sure that you're doing the thing, I will have my patients do a bunch of different types of things. So if they're a little bit more motivated, like before going to bed, they know in the mornings they're just terrible at like filling up their water bottle and doing some of these patterns, I just have them fill it up the night before and put it on your desk. The second thing is that the second, that's kind of like if you are trying to like motivate yourself to go work out, you could like sleep in your workout clothes or have them all laid out in the morning. It kind of eliminates a little bit more of those steps that you have to go through.
One last decision you have to make.
Yeah, totally. The next piece of that I wanted to talk about, the second piece of what she mentioned, there were a couple things we talked about. So water being one of them, making sure that you're just trying to promote these systems, right? And trying to support, keep these things going. hacking into your habits can be a part of a big piece of trying to make sure that you're actually doing the thing. The other thing though that I wanted to talk about real quick when it comes to gut health and with toxins is that when we are looking at different types of, we kind of mentioned like different types of bacteria and talking about just like what different types of bacteria, what can happen is when we are trying to remove some of those bacteria, or if we have an overgrowth, like you mentioned SIBO, but talking about things like SIFO, so like a fungal overgrowth, or we're talking about candida, when you start to make some changes, it can happen that we see things like die off and different types of symptoms. And oftentimes what you'll hear is take more milk thistle or something like that. Well, what those actually are liver supportive herbs. So essentially what you're just doing is you're making sure that you're putting in a lot of antioxidant and liver supportive nutrients so that the body can take the die off toxins of these different types of bacteria and yeast and eliminate those toxins and make them not quite so awful to experience when we, you know, support the liver in that way. So that was the thing about the gut that I wanted to mention was when we're trying to eliminate toxins, or if you have an overgrowth of them and they are causing some of the problems, taking liver supportive supplements sometimes can help remove those symptoms. So yeah, so that kind of is the major section of the gut and just trying to optimize elimination pathways. The last piece of this that's really important is what you are being exposed to on a daily basis. So I want you to remember just kind of like what Kylie said here is that on a normal basis, she has a large 64-ounce water bottle, which I'm assuming is BPA-free, and that's generally what she consumes water out of. You should.
Especially, it better be.
Yeah, especially if it was like, if it's an older water bottle that you've had for a really long time. There was a point when companies like Nalgene and like a lot of other plastic large water bottle companies started changing out of BPA, but I still, and we're going to talk about this in a bit, is still trying to look for like stainless steel or glass based options versus plastic, because plastic leaches chemicals into the water, which is why those plastic water bottles, like Kylie showed, can sometimes be
what you want to avoid.
Yes. No, but that's okay though, because this is the point though, right? Is that if you drink them occasionally, because hey, is it the path of least resistance to try to get you to drink water? Yes. So go grab it and drink it. But if you're drinking these on a daily basis, or if you're storing them in your car, so it's getting, they're getting, this plastic is getting very, very, very hot, then what can happen is that heat with the plastic can leach those chemicals into the water. And now you're essentially drinking those down. So again, this was a great example because it's not that big of a deal if you're not getting exposed to them on a daily basis. So here's some things that you can do, like a long list. So if you don't have a pen and paper by now, I hope you go and grab some really quickly because this is going to be a great thing to write down.
And then pick one of them over your next list that you're going to give us. Pick one, write it in the comments so we know, and you can hold yourself accountable to this one option that you're going to choose and go change your toxic load today.
Perfect. Yeah. And what I would say is this is sort of like a list you can use. It's like a checklist that you can do over time. Because as I always say with a lot of my patients as well, like use up what you have, but then when you go to purchase new stuff, make a different choice. Doesn't have to be smarter, not better, just make a different choice. Okay.
Yeah, so we use the good, better, best rule. So if you're using a good product now, the next time you go to buy that product, get a better product.
Yeah.
Or a better product, get the best one.
Yeah. That's so good. So one of the first ones to always remember and think about is what are you using daily? So let's talk about coffee, for example. Coffee can actually be, especially if you're not getting it from a good source, it can be a large source of toxins, anywhere from mold to just different chemicals through the processing process. So switching out to a cleaner, through the roasting process, switching out to cleaner coffee through better companies is one of the biggest ways you can make a huge impact. Because guess what? Most people drink at least a cup of coffee a day, if not multiple cups of coffee a day. Also, if you can switch to making your coffee at home versus buying out, number one, you're going to save a lot more money. But number two, those coffee cups are lined with plastic. Right? They're paper, usually when you touch them. So how do they not leak all of your coffee out of the cup? Guess what? There's a plastic lining on the inside of those hot paper cups. So that, again, you're getting heat exposed to plastic, which is something we really want to avoid.
The culture around me, because I'm in Utah, is not coffee, but it's soda pop. When you're talking along the lines of soda pop, which people will have 64 ounces a day. I mean, there are, like in Oregon, you know, there's Starbucks on every corner. Here it's called Swig on every corner. Swig is like, you drive through, you go get your concoction of soda pop. I've never been there, so I don't really know what it is like.
Yeah.
I'm told. But yeah, they have soda pop right and left. And if you're going to drink soda pop, you might as well get the real stuff and not the artificial stuff. Because artificial sweeteners are toxins. But if we're looking along the lines of plastic containers, looking through, getting into the, just lost me, soda pop into your drink.
Well, not only this, so there's a couple things with that. Number one, you could get a refillable container. So kind of like we always grab our coffee mugs and bring them with us. So you're reducing the use of plastic and then also that destroying the environment. So that's a really big thing. Multi-use cups is what we're trying to figure out there. Yeah, using a multi-use cup so you can bring it with you and they can fill it. That is helpful. I don't know if they do that or not, but they should if they don't. Also though, yeah, as you mentioned, so the problem with soda pop in or soda or pop or whatever, Coke or whatever else you call it, is that it's usually high in sugar, which sugar alone destroys your body. It will increase inflammation and it'll make this whole process harder on your entire system. So highly recommend not consuming that very often. The second thing though is not only the artificial sweeteners that you mentioned, but we're also looking at dyes and caramel foods. Yes. Coloring and like, I don't know, they're usually marked with like FDIC number something or other, right? Mm-hmm. Yellow and yellow something else, right? So there's tons of different colorings and things like that that they put into these sodas that can be very detrimental to the body, especially when you're consuming them on a daily basis. I mean, we're talking about things anywhere from, again, talking about like chronic fatigue, chronic pain, to things like asthma. Oh yeah. And like preservatives and stuff that go into those things. Yeah. So that soda all on its own is kind of a, like, if you cannot drink that very often, that would be pretty great for your health. If you eliminated that alone, I bet you, especially if you're drinking it every day, that would have a huge impact.
Mm-hmm. Even if you chop it in half with 32. And I've had people ask me like, how do I get off my soda addiction? And it is an addiction. You have to replace it with something else. You can't just stop it. So one of the things I say is replace it with some flavored water. Throw some lemons in some water. Throw some mint leaves in water. Like throw those type of real foods, not your Crystal Light. But go grab some fruit, throw it in. Like one of the things my husband does is he just buys one of those multi-berry mixes that are frozen and just dumps like a half of a cup in his water. And that's what flavors it. So you're getting you're getting the water. You're switching it out for the soda pop, which is awesome, but you're also getting some flavors in there and you can totally mix it up. Like one of my favorite things is actually mint leaf put in water.
So it's super refreshing.
Yeah. There's one
especially with like cucumber. Yeah. I also really like your electrolyte replacement fizz products. So I use Hammer Nutrition's in particular. Their Endurolyte fizz is my favorite. Yeah,
but you're not getting them off the Walmart shelves.
No, those you'll have to buy either at like a sports shop or online, but they are, you might be able to find like none at a Walmart shelf or something like that, but
N-O-O-N.
N-U-U-N. They're also another option too. Anyway, so those are flavorings and they'll sometimes fizz it up a little bit because they may have like magnesium. So you may get a little bit more of that like bubbly type thing. Anyway. All right. Let's keep moving. So buy organic when you can. Typically people have heard of something like the Dirty Dozen or the Clean 15. The Dirty Dozen are the ones that are usually heavily covered in pesticides. And so those are the ones you want to buy organic when you can. Other ones you can just Clean 15 are the kind that you can just buy a normal, not organic. And I think that's the biggest piece is people are always like, well, organic is more expensive. And so I don't always want to choose the organic pricing. So know which ones you you have to get them organic and know which ones are kind of optional. The reason why I'm saying that is because remember back in the previous section when we talked about gut health and keeping your bacteria healthy, think about what pesticides do for a second, right? They kill bugs and they try to basically kill bacteria so that you can get these plants that you eat in the most prime. They don't have any holes. They don't have any bugs. They're like basically sterile almost. And also with all the hand sanitizers that we're using right now and all of those products to try to like eliminate bacteria and any type of viruses and anything we could potentially be exposed to, everything is being ultra sanitized right now. Mm-hmm. Think about what that's doing. If it's killing the bacteria that's also bad, it's also killing the bacteria that's also good. And the problem with that is that we were not designed to live in sterile environments. Like, we need bacteria. You need it in your gut. You need it on your skin. We need bacteria. They do a lot for us. They also will sometimes break down different types of foods and then break them down into like things like vitamin K, which we need, and then we absorb it. It's a very important thing to have bacteria around. But so if you are constantly being exposed to something that's designed to make things more sterile, what do you think? Like, what kind of impact do you think that's going to have on your body, right? So buy organic when you can and do that with the ones that are most important. Like, for example, a couple of them are like broccoli is one that you absolutely want to get organic. That's just an example. So then the next one is, oh, and then on that note too. So I just mentioned this, but I am perfectly aware that we are in a pandemic and that hand sanitizer is sometimes what's within arm's reach. When you have the chance, wash your hands with soap and water. Soap breaks down the cell wall of a virus. And so soap is plenty fine for sanitizing your hands, but we just don't always have that option. So use hand sanitizer when you need to. And if you can, make sure your home is sanitized, but you can also use things that are friendly to some types of bacteria so that you aren't just completely wiping out everything that can sometimes be very, very helpful for your health. Okay.
We had somebody come clean my house for my bathrooms for my 30th birthday last year. And I mean, they were immaculate. They looked brand new, but I literally wanted to give them my bind because I knew how many toxins they were using. I'm like, you guys are, your health's going to be a mess in 10 years. Here, please take this so you can get rid of all these toxins you're using.
Yeah, exactly. And that's actually a piece we're going to talk about in a second is one of those things that you can replace. But also just moving right along here, make sure you're sourcing your meat well. If you eat animal protein, you can hunt so you can get some wild sources of meat. You can also make sure that you're getting just even if you go to like a local farmer that is being, you'll first off support your local farmers. But second, you won't be necessarily getting these processed feedlot animals, right? That can be fairly toxic as with a lot of different things. So we're just going to move right along. Things like candles. Candles they can often release a lot of different types of toxins and fragrances that can be very harmful to your body. Again, going back to those endocrine disruptors, right? Like hormones, those pieces, though, anything that smells really nice, if it's not coming from a natural source, it can be fairly toxic. So we want to make sure that you're getting it from a good for either good quality. I've heard beeswax can sometimes be a little bit better of a choice. Or if you can switch over to like a diffuser with essential oils, again, make sure you're being careful of getting good quality essential oils. But those can be another way that you can eliminate some of those toxins that are just being released into the air. Also air fresheners. So out of your aerosol cans, those air fresheners are often scented with things like, you can look for this on the ingredients, perfume and fragrance. If it's not listed after that, like an essential oil or something that is they're specifying where it's coming from, if it says fragrance or perfume and that's it, put it back on the shelf. Don't buy it because fragrance and perfume is a overarching just ingredient that they can post and then they can use whatever they want. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not specified. So I just usually bypass that altogether and put it back on the shelf.
Well, I'm not going to feel bad that I don't use any of that stuff to make my house smell good.
Well, there you go. Don't worry about it. Yeah, all good. So another thing that you can do is change out your cleaning supplies. So just as you mentioned with the person who came to clean your house, changing out your cleaning supplies one by one, again, going back to what we said before, when you've already completed what you've already gone through, buy a different product. Buy one that's a little bit safer. So I'm talking about companies like Seventh Generation. There's a lot of different companies that are cleaner in what they incorporate, and you can get down a rabbit hole with those, but just start by starting to incorporate ones that, again, don't have things like fragrance and perfume and that kind of stuff, and that are more using just natural type things. You can still get ones that are healthier and safer that are still effective. Okay. So also changing out, we already kind of touched on this, changing out plastic storage containers and usage for glass and stainless steel. So if you're going to be reheating your food a lot, storing your food, things like that, using glass storage containers is much better than using plastic storage containers. Also, and the last one that I'll talk about here is skincare and cosmetics. So women on a normal average basis are putting anywhere between 18 to 20 different types of chemicals and products on their skin, or products on their skin. Typical households, women are being exposed to anywhere between, I think I read one in one spot that women, by the time they left their house in the morning at 8 a.m., were exposed to like 80 or to 100 different types of chemicals in a day. Like just leaving before they went to work by 8 a.m., they were exposed to that many different types of products and chemicals. So again, I can't express this enough. If it's something that you put on your skin every single day, choose safer options. It doesn't have to be this like super crunchy natural stuff that doesn't really work very well. Just choose safer, right? Choose a little bit cleaner of products that you know when you're putting those on your skin and on your face aren't going to be leaching chemicals into your system. Again, paying attention to the bottles that your stuff is stored in, right? As I mentioned, BPA, bisphenol A, can show up in plastic and then leach into those products that you're then putting on your skin. So really, really important to just be a little bit more aware, pay attention, start diving into this a little bit more if you're interested. We didn't even talk about heavy metals today, but this is just a really great place to start if you are considering and thinking that toxins and detoxification might be contributing to something that's going on with your health. Last note too, you can also do prevention with this, right? So you can take all these things that we just talked about today. And if you're like, I don't really feel sick, like I'm pretty healthy and I feel okay, you can still make some of these changes so that you can potentially prevent things from happening too. So,
right. And that's typically like the best way to follow things. So, okay. Awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Kirsten. If you want to learn more from her, she's got a blog.
Yeah. So yeah, you can find me at Dr. Kirsten and then drkirsten.com.
Cool.
On Facebook and Instagram.
Nice. Okay. So that's everything we talked about. Toxins. So toxins can disrupt hormones. They can lead to autoimmune disease, headaches, migraines, chronic pain, skin problems like psoriasis, and then of course fatigue. Simple ways to fix it. Definitely support the liver. Don't just cleanse it. You got to give it support. To fix that gut, sweat daily, move so you can get your lymph flowing. And then drink some water, free daily toxins. So what are you putting on your skin, ingesting daily? So super cool stuff. There you have it. There's toxins. 5 ways that toxins are disrupting your health. 3 ways to fix it. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Beyond the Diagnosis with me, Dr. Kylie. If you enjoyed this and you learned something new, if you felt empowered in any way, please go invite 3 of your friends to come join us. And then meet me right back here again next week.